Yo, so I got my results back yesterday and everything came back positive except for
The Joe Rona.
Oh.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the last set, another episode.
Yeah, another episode. Today's a special day for you because this you were telling me off air that this marks the day 3 years you've been an adult performer slash stripper slash topless waiter, whatever occupation that comes under that industry that you're fond of.
Yeah, well, I mean, today's special for me because 3 years ago today, I literally walked into, I was asked to go do a topless waitering gig at a nightclub, and it was literally at the end of a shift at work, and I was like, this is, and I remember it was such a bad shift for me as well, and then I got a message from a guy, hey man, we're in, I'm not gonna say the club's name, but I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come down and give it a go, and then hop in there. And then the bouncers like take the piss out of me, and they said, "Dude, you can't be one of them." And I was like, "Well, I've asked to come down here. And like, there's no way we're letting you in." And then one of the
So
guys,
they didn't let you in.
they didn't let me in because, well, I was 18 at the time.
Um,
Yeah, I hit the puberty
yeah.
train real late,
Yeah. I think
so.
I did too as well. I think I did it as well.
So they let, and then so one of the guys came out and says, "No, man, come in." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So they took me backstage and introduced me to everyone, and then basically he just goes, "Oh, do you want to jump, take your shirt off, and just jump in the crowd in your jeans?" And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, you'll get give it a go." And then I just went for it, and then
Well, you jumped into the crowd with
no,
just your jeans.
yeah, just my jeans on, just my
Wait,
shoes.
were they jeans or were they jeans? Like,
No,
in your jocks?
like,
In your jocks, yeah?
no, I'm
Just
more
you and your
like.
undies, your tiny ones. Someone else, your jeans? Yeah.
No, it was just regular jeans and all that. And then
Regular jeans.
the show was great. I mean, I looked up at the stage and then the way the guys performed, I was like, I could give it a go. And the thing at the time was I was actually 18 years old and I was just in university. And the reason why I was so attracted to it was because the idea that I never really like had that much excitement when it came to going out up until then, because the fact that I was in high school and in
Plus, cha-ching, getting
yeah.
money.
Well, there you go. But when I was in high school, I barely went out. I used to not go to a lot of parties because either A, I was uninvited, or B, I just did not want to go. I'd rather go work out on a Saturday night.
You don't really drink either.
I barely
Well,
drank.
neither of us. I don't really drink
Yeah.
either.
Well, the reason why I don't like to drink is because I don't like the feeling of being slow.
Like, I have control as well.
Yeah, it's just you know what you're like when you're drunk. You like you're sloppy, you're angry, you're emotional,
It
you're.
only works when you're also in the company of other slow people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the frequency's so off. I don't know. I don't like really drinking either anymore, just because it lost its appeal. It really did. It lost its appeal. I think it was like only for like maybe a year or two that I was like, see, even when I started drinking, I would only like go to parties or go out. Other than that, I would never ever drink. I wouldn't drink at the table. I wouldn't do anything like that. I would only drink if I was like to really like enjoy
Yeah, that's right. So there's
drinking.
only two reasons I feel like there's enough to drink. One, I feel like I'm out socially and I've earned it. Like it's a function and they used to come around once every few months for me. Or two, it's actually something I can physically enjoy, like a scotch or a whiskey. Something like that. Basically, it's just I can enjoy. And so that was the reason why I never ever really went out much in high school. And so when this came around and I was like 18, I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. So I didn't have a show the second night. So two nights of two shows, and I was like, "What do I need?" At the end of it, I spoke to the main guy. I said, "What do I need to do to get into this?" And he says, "We've got an audition coming up in a couple of weeks. Come down." So 2 weeks go by, show up to the audition, and I remember on the morning before the audition, they did a photo shoot for the new guys or just take photos. And the guys who were there, they were 3 times my size. Some of them were actual dancers, and they were older than me, better looking, and so much bigger than me. And I thought, fuck it, I ain't got no chance tomorrow. But the day I showed up, I basically had showed up and I kind of had like a little moment to myself in my car. I said, look, if you don't make it, you got a story to tell for the rest
Yeah,
of
it's
you.
fun.
Yeah,
It's
it's
fun.
fun. So
I
give
just put
it.
the mic a little bit closer to your mouth, just a tiny bit.
Yeah, and I said, man, let's just go for this audition. If anything happens, well, if you don't make it, you don't make it, and you got a story to tell for the rest of your life. So did the audition. I remember I fucked it up in the end.
Oh, how'd you fuck it up?
Oh, we had to do a dance. I showed us a dance.
And you only knew, like, the robot and, like, Macarena?
Yeah, something like that. And it was, like, a proper dance, and he was watching us, and then we were trying hard, and I was, like, really trying to get it, and I was trying to own it. And then if I fuck up, I would just keep going. And then towards the end, I fucked up the final part. And then I was pretty devastated because I felt like, you know, that there goes my chance. I was pretty hard on myself. And then I shook hands with everybody and I said, thank you very much. And I went back to my car. And then the next day I went to uni and I just acted like nothing, you know, I just had the weekend. So that's, I've had my phone. Let's go be a normal kid again. 3 days go by, nothing happens. 4 days goes by, nothing happens. And I think it was on the fifth or the sixth day, I get a call from the main guy and says, hey man, we had 4 spots. We gave it to 3 other guys and we want to get the last one to you. Now, to this day, those 3 guys no longer work for us. So out of the 4 guys, I'm the only one still left doing it.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, a lot of them, when they call up your company, they ask for you. Uh-oh. They ask for you because you're the young guy.
Well, I mean, I definitely am the young guy. I think I was the youngest they ever had
Well, not naming anyone's names or anything like that, but who's probably the oldest... stripper that works for your company?
Oh, he's in his 40s.
Yeah, is he like 42, 43?
Something like that, yeah. But he's great. I mean, but he's one of those guys you look at and you say, fuck, that's 40? He looks like he's still in his early 30s.
Yeah, obviously he's ripped as, probably looks after himself a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're like a regular 42-year-old, you're not fooling anyone.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and then I ended up getting in. And then I remember on that day, I had to do a shift. He said to me, oh, we're doing a show tonight in Bunbury. We got a spare bed because we're just looking for a waiter. You should come down, give the go. And I was like, oh, sure, why not? And then, but I remember that night I had a shift at work I was meant to do. I worked in a retail store, I'm not going to say where. And then I had just, I was so baffled. Thank
God you worked in retail. Thank God you worked in retail. Yeah, continue, sorry.
And that's good. And then literally, I was trying to call up saying I wasn't going to be there, but I had to think of an excuse. And the manager calls up and she's like, oh, what's the situation? She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't come in tonight. It's like, well, you better have a good excuse because we've had 2 people cancel on us tonight. And I thought to myself, my granddad just had a heart attack. I've got to go down to Bunbury to be with my family.
Oh God!
That's not the truth, though. The truth
was poor granddad that's in Spain.
He lives in Spain. He's fine. He was chilling in Spain by the pool at the time, enjoying his retirement.
His ears were burning, probably at the poolside. He's like, "Who's talking about?" No, what is it when that people talk about these things? Achoo! Who's talking about me behind my back? What a good I mean, I have a pretty big excuse. I think you were really committing to it.
Well,
to make that kind of excuse,
yeah,
and blow off like an easy shift at work, I feel like you were committed to it.
Well, I mean, it felt like it was worth it. And then so we drive down to Bunbury, and
how far is Bunbury for people that don't live there?
I think it's a good couple of hours.
It's two hours. I think it's 2 hours because yeah. Margaret River would be about. Is 3.
Yes.
So Bunbury is about 2.
Yes. And so we go to Bunbury and we're in some like Bunbury like community centre, whatever.
You've worked in some real shitholes, by the way. That's completely, you have so many stories. We'll probably have to leave that for another podcast, but you have worked in the worst places ever to do strip shows and topless waiting. You really have.
I mean
that sincerely.
I know, but it's all a good laugh. That's the thing. Like,
it's a good story for you to, you know, talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
Whenever you go through like a bad, well, for guys, when you go through a bit of a bad experience, and when it comes to talking about it with other guys in the industry, it's always like a good laugh in the end. And that's the kind of stuff.
They'll have the craziest of stories themselves. Oh.
Yeah, for sure. So we're in Bunbury, we're doing the show, and it is packed. Like, all these women are packed into this like community center, and I'm just like this fucking 18-year-old kid getting passed around. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And I thought, well, this is your life now, Joe. And then I thought, you know what, I can really commit to this and make something out of it. Now 3 years down the line, I've done all these shows in so many different places, both good and bad. I've done so many performances, both good and bad.
Well, you said you were pretty bad at the start.
Oh, it was terrible.
So, rate yourself at the start out of 10.
I got to say somewhere around...
Don't be generous, by the way. Tell us how bad you were.
3 or 4? That was about 3 or 4 out of 10.
Let's be conservative and say 3 out of 10.
Well, the reason why is because the guys who I work for, that some of them are really good dancers.
Yeah, they're actually like dancers. And like, dancers. They came from like probably hip hop or...
I've only done one kind of dancing in my whole life, and that was ballroom dancing back in high school.
Oh, God.
Right. And we went to an all-boys school, so we had to do it with the sister school.
We did it in uni as well.
Oh, yeah, we did it in uni as well, but that was...
You take it very seriously when you do it. You take
all the moves so seriously when you... Yeah, there was always those... remember that girl, the woman who was the... There was a teacher.
Oh.
Tell the story, Jack. there was that teacher.
Oh, I've probably put it in the back of my head now. She was... she was just a loudmouth. Rude person, like she. I don't know because she. I don't think she worked for the uni or anything. I think she worked with the dude that was contracted to take part of this unit. Now, you finish your bachelor's degree. I've essentially finished it. I just have my last semester, which is just no theory or anything. I'm done as well. But we have had some weird units in our in our degree that we can talk for days about. But this particular unit. You used to be able to do, I think it was tennis, but tennis had been used in other units, so they actually wanted to try something out different, and they wanted us to have a bit more of a broader experience, which is what our uni was kind of all about. And they chose ballroom dancing, and I wasn't too keen about it because I did it in high school, and that sucked. I think you can talk about it. That sucked. And you had a boys' school, so you were probably...
Well, what happened was...
Were you holding hands with the boys?
Yeah, no.
No, you got your best pal in the school, didn't you?
You're the chick, I'm the dude. No, what happened is...
You were the chick, weren't you?
I'm the dude.
Yeah, you were the wife.
We had... Because I went to... The school I went to, we had a sister school. We had to do it with the sister school. Yeah, yeah. And then the problem was that they would split the groups into two, and there was... I think the amount of boys in my year outweighed the number of girls in that year. So there were some guys literally just waiting around for nothing.
Oh, poor blokes.
Yeah, anyway. So we did the unit.
We did do that unit, but while we were doing it, we had to do the ballroom dancing, which is like, I think it was once every week. And there was one... Now, I'm not going to lie. I did it in high school. Also, I come from a martial art background, which is all about footwork. And I know how to like... I can 100% move. It's not that difficult. But this woman that was not, let's say she was athletically challenged.
That's a nice, polite way to put it.
She was athletically challenged in the entirety of that sense. And she just kept, she was just such a
piece of work. I'm going to say it. She was short and she was a big girl and she was wearing high heels because I had to dance with her a couple of times too. And she's so slow, but she's so strong as well.
But
she just drags you.
No. Actually, she would drag the guys in that. But all I remember is like sweaty palms, like the clammiest palms. And then I always remember that she would talk a big game, right? Because yeah. She would say like how good she is, and she was wearing some special shoes or something that she'd
plot
around her. But then
stilettos. Yeah. She was the only chick there wearing.
So she was even shorter because she was wearing stilettos.
Exactly, and she had the big fucking eyes as well. I remember the big fucking eyes.
You were paired up with her, and I was paired up with another person, and I was looking at Joe, and I caught your eye, and I went like this. And he just started laughing. And the woman was just like, what are you on about, you crazy person? I just went like this. Like, gecko eyes.
Like, you better keep up. And just grabbed her. Just like threw her along with me. Because I knew that she was going to try and drag me. I'm like, nope.
She dragged you. And like, I was like, I'm pretty sure the dude leads. Are you a dude? No. But like, she wasn't very nice. She was rude as. She was a bit of a bitch, I'll be honest.
But it was a great experience.
It was a great experience, but I remember about 20 or 30 minutes in, she would bounce.
Oh, yeah. Because
she would get too tired from ballroom dancing, which is not very difficult at all. It's not cardiovascularly very difficult. And then she would leave and she'd just walk out, and I'm like, oh.
She needs carbs.
She needs some carbs. Yeah. Yeah, she needs some carbs. She needs a water break.
Yeah, she just...
She needed a water break. But no, she was just really rude. I didn't like her at all. And I think every time we saw her there, we were kind of like... Because she wasn't very nice to us. Yeah. She really wasn't very nice.
Mm. Well, overall, though, the unit I was really happy with because the unit coordinator, he said the reason why he does it is because he said for two reasons. He says that people don't get enough social interaction, and that's what uni should be about. And yeah. I totally agree with him on that. Because
I like him a lot.
Oh, he was great. And he said that the idea is that he made the unit participation. You have to show up. And if you don't participate, you fail in that unit. So he used to say to guys, if you don't want to participate, get out now. Otherwise, you cannot pass this unit with just missing it. And the reason why I like...
Wait, there was that option?
Yeah, there was.
Oh.
So...
I wish I never went.
Well, it was a great unit overall.
Yeah. No, I like the unit. It was just I wasn't too... It wasn't a new experience. I'd already done ballroom dancing and...
Well, it was easy marks.
It was easy marks, but I'd already done it.
Oh,
I'd already done it. It wasn't a new experience. If it was maybe like, I don't know, what's something I haven't really done before? Maybe like cricket or, I don't know,
no, badminton.
No, I actually have. I did it in primary school. We just didn't do it.
Fair enough. But the reason why he said it needs more social interaction is because, you know, that's what people, as we're human beings, we crave for these days. And
yeah.
He says it's good for your mental health. And then he was, and then remember he mentioned something. He says that he said people always go out of the university to work in schools, either sports teachers or teachers in general. And they said, what is the most strangest thing or scariest thing? And he said, the amount of children these days that are cutting themselves is overwhelming.
Mm.
And it's always the kids who just don't get along or highly introverted or just don't get included enough. So that's why he made the whole thing like...
He's probably just trying to bring a little bit of the introverts just to have a little bit of fun, a bit of social interaction.
And because I felt like at the end of it, but not even that, but, you know, we go to uni to get educated and, you know, a lot of people go because they want the experience. And there's some people that just come from backgrounds where they find it so hard to, like, communicate with others because there's a language barrier or just cultural differences or just the way that they're brought up. And just to have all those people together in one room interacting with each other in a positive manner and... You know, if you fuck up, everyone would be, like, laughing about it, like, here and there. But, you know, and not only that, but it gives you a little bit of confidence about yourself. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world if you make a small mistake.
Mm.
You pick up and you keep going. So that was probably, I mean, we both just graduated now. For me, that was still to this day one of the best damn units I did in that university.
I don't know about the best one. I mean, there were certainly some really good units.
Well, we did the tennis one together. That was pretty good.
And that was taken by the same dude that we're
talking about.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Also, he kind of treats you... I always liked in high school and uni the ones that treated you like adults. Now, at university, that's pretty normal. You treat you... But in high school, I think I always respected the teachers that were a bit more laid back and talked to you like an adult and didn't patronize you or be condescending and talk to you like a child, especially when, you know, you're about to graduate high school. I'm not, you know...
Yeah. I always like the teachers or the lecturers. It's the same. The ones that are, like, really... passionate about what it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some people who go for it like a half-assed, or maybe they're just having a bad day, but there's this consistent pattern, like that one we had for the, I'm not going to say the unit name, but the unit code 2290.
Don't even say the name.
Don't say the code. But I'm just saying, we had units where the lecturer would come in, rant for about 2 hours. And it was almost about just common sense. And I literally would just...
You sure it was two?
Yeah, something like that.
No. Because that's one of my favorite units.
You know,
that's my, like, favorite unit.
Well,
I think you're thinking of a different one, and I know what you're thinking of.
I remember.
It was not that.
I went
because I really enjoyed that year. I knew it wasn't like that.
Yeah, because I remember when it was towards the end of the year we did it. And it was the last exam that we did. And then you sent me a message the night before saying, what is it? You sent me a nice message the night before saying, did you study for this? And I was like, no. I was like, study what, mate? You just go back for the lectures. It's just statistics and just stuff that's like common sense. And I think you screenshot that and then you put it in the group.
No. I screenshotted the one and put it in the group chat. And it was, you said F. or whatever it was, I can't remember. We got a little bit off topic from you celebrating 3 years of stripping, but I don't know. It's weird to think that because I never really think of you as like an adult performer because I knew you before then. I mean, shortly before then, because it wasn't not as soon as about like what a month or so after I'd met you, you went straight into the stripping.
Yeah, well. We met in university.
Well, how did we meet?
We met where we both rocked up to the wrong lab.
The first lab we were meant to rock up for, I can't remember what unit it was.
I remember the unit.
Yeah. But don't say the name, don't say the code.
Okay. But I remember I was sitting down and you walked in, it was in the sports science area, and then you said...
Yeah, in the seats. Yeah, you
said, is this the where we're having X... Da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said yes, and he said good, and then we just started talking after that. And then I think one of the guys, and there was a whole bunch of other people there as well. And then one of the lecturers came in. He's like, "What are you guys doing here?" And he was like, "We're meant to be have this." He says, "No, that's next week. You're meant to be on this part of campus." And we're like, "Oh no!" So we walked there, rock up late, and then we were just talking. I'm like, "Oh well, I guess we're working together then for this semester."
Yeah.
And then
that's what I always think. I always think it's funny how like we wouldn't have met if we were actually like had good time management actually went to the right place.
Yeah,
but it worked out in the end, didn't it?
We were in the wrong place at the right time. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, wrong place at the right time. So kids, right place at the right time doesn't always work.
Yeah.
some things work out better if you do it wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's some good advice.
I mean, take it as however you like. All right.
Then, actually, no. It wasn't a month into it. It was, we did a semester together. Then I got into it.
The following semester?
Yeah, because it's August. We started together at the start of
the year. So I knew you for about 6 months.
Yeah. And then what happened was, literally, I said, I remember on that Monday morning, I was texting someone. And then he goes, "Who are you texting? Who are you hiding from me?" And we were sitting there.
Because you were hiding. Yeah. You were hiding your phone. And I was like, "What are you doing? I'm not going to look at your phone, but why are you hiding it from me?"
Then I pull out my phone. I was like, "Dude, here's what I did on the weekend. I'll like show you the photos."
It was an lecture theatre.
It was an lecture theatre.
I just pissed myself laughing. It was so funny.
That's it.
So funny.
And then I kept it under the wraps for a little bit. And
you mean a month? I couldn't tell anyone for a month.
Yeah, and then I usually just make like subtle hints to everyone, and no one would pick it up. And then
I'd laugh though.
Yeah. And then, well, because you were the second person to know. The first person was my little sister.
No.
Because...
You told me before your mum and
dad. Well, that's the thing. I was shitting myself before I told my mum and dad.
Well, here's a good one. All right, so stripper for 3 years. You've done it for 3 years. I want to ask you two questions. One question is, what was your individual mum and dad's reaction to you saying it? And number two... Has their opinion changed 3 years later?
Okay, so I won't... First, I had to tell my dad, because if I told my dad, when it comes to the family, he's a little bit more laid back, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it was on a Sunday night, and he literally had...
He's a good boy.
Yeah, and he literally just came back from the pub, and I was like, "Hey, Dad, look..." Because I used to say to him, "Oh, yeah, I'm working as a waiter." I just didn't say...
You just didn't say topless.
Right, yeah. I broke it. I was like, "Hey, Dad, I'm working as a... You know, I've been working as a waiter lately." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm very proud of you for doing that." And then I go, "Well, it's a special kind of waiter." And he goes, "Oh, okay. Is there something I should know?" And he goes, "Yes, I'm working in the entertainment industry as a topless waiter." And he had a few beers in him at the time, and he goes... "That's my boy." And it gives me a high five.
Gives you a high five.
Gives you a high five.
"That's my boy."
I'm like, all the feelings. I'm like, "Yeah, wait, what? You okay with this?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, look, so the best thing I love about you, the best thing I love the most about my parents. The best thing I love the most about my parents is that the philosophy they had when it came to parenting is they basically gave me a lot of responsibility when I was young, and they always say things like, "Look, whatever you do is on you because you're responsible for your own actions, but at the end of the day, you know, we can only help you so much."
Yeah.
So they said, when I finally told my mom, she didn't believe me at the time. She thought, "Are you serious?" And I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. And she said, "Well, everything that you do is on you, and whatever the consequences may be down the track, it's your, just remember, it was you who made the decision." And I was like, okay with that. And I kind of respected her a lot for doing that. Because
they treated like an adult.
Yeah.
They treated you like... You said, literally, when you make your own adult decisions, if you really want to do this, you go do this. But it is on you because it's...
Yeah.
Obviously a different occupation than most.
Yes. Yeah. And to this day, you know, and then from there, I'm still going. I mean, I've learned so much over the past 3 years. But the reason why I liked it so much was because growing up as a kid, I didn't have a lot of confidence. Well, I had a fair bit of confidence, but not really that much. Like, socially, it wasn't that, like, you know, interesting. And because I had to be out and about and constantly talking to women and constantly interacting with people, you know, it kind of gave my confidence a little bit of a boost.
You probably just got better at interacting with people. I always thought you were pretty good socially. I think you always made the effort to be very social with people. You always went hi, hello, shook their hand, especially around campus. And then I think you became more so like that. I noticed that maybe you were more so like that after this job. It made you a lot more open to being sociable with people. Like, but you were the one that opened it to make other people feel okay.
Yeah. Well, it's because I had to do that on the job. If you don't do that on the job, then you won't get any work. It's the same with the, you can't be shy on the job. You have to be completely vulnerable, own it every moment of it. And that's something I am, that I'm quite proud of. And it's something I tell a lot of kids. I said, man, look, the first step to getting over insecurities is admitting that they're there, admitting that they're real, being open about it, and owning it.
Just working
on it. Yeah, like if some, it's like the first step when it, and I'm gonna lead to a di- I'm gonna talk about addiction, but the first step when it comes to an addiction or an insecurity or a fault is mentioning it. You have to admit it, that it's there. Don't deny it. It's like being scared. It's okay to admit you're scared.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you own it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've found that, because when I think about it, it's like a lot of these, if you're scared or anything like that, it's an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. To not be okay with that emotion is fine, right? Mm-hmm. You like, but to say it's not okay to feel it, that's not true. Everyone has emotions. Everyone feels insecurities. Everyone feels sad. Everyone feels happy. Making little changes to make sure, like, you're okay with feeling that way and just being comfortable with it. Being comfortable with it. Yeah.
And once you're more comfortable being your own, in feeling in your own skin, it takes time.
Well, you would have to be, because the only thing people are seeing is your skin.
And then that's the case. And then, you know, that makes you, you know, once you accept yourself, you learn a lot about yourself, and then that's how you grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you feel like stripping also like took you kind of out of your shell a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave me more confidence, because I used to say, I used to have give myself a talk. Like, whenever I would have to go into a situation where I felt uncomfortable, I used to snap myself out of it. Like, man, you get your top off in front of stage in front of hundreds of women a weekend, and yet you're still scared to just to do this little thing. Come on, man, you know you're stronger than this. And because I was exposed to that environment, everything else below it sort of became a little bit easier. And that's the thing I tell everyone. When you expose yourself to a high stress or something that's very difficult,
the stuff below it doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, it becomes normal.
Yeah.
It becomes average. And that's one thing that I feel like is really important for people in their 20s.
It doesn't cause the same kind of reaction. Like, if you're used to having people, like, criticizing you or you doing a certain thing where you're out in the open, then things like a job interview and things like that, They don't bother you as much, you know?
You just because you've done something that's so much harder. It's
that's why I was never really bothered about. I knew you wouldn't be bothered. Like, you're in front of hundreds of women, you know, weekly, and I thought about it as well. But I'm from day one. I've never been bothered with being on camera, because it used to bother me to be in front of people and things like that, but like as you get older, you don't care so much. I remember on a lot of my kickboxing fights, I was in front of people, and more often than not, my family was watching me and things like that, and I'd be so nervous beforehand because my parents are watching me, right? And not only that, if it was at my intra club, then there was people from other clubs also watching me fight someone.
How old were you when you started the kickboxing competitions?
Well, I did freestyle taekwondo, but it was more of a mixed martial art gym where they did Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I did a lot of like other judo and grappling, things like that.
Okay,
so but it was mainly the art was freestyle taekwondo, which is literally just kickboxing, normal kickboxing, knees and elbows and things like that, but it had the Taekwondo kicks.
Okay. So how old were you when you started freestyle Taekwondo?
Seven.
And how old were you when you did your first contest?
I've done quite a few, so I can't really remember. But
can you remember the first one you did?
Not really. I did them so earlier on. I first did the WTF Taekwondo competitions, which is the Olympic type of Taekwondo, which is the one that you see in the Olympics where they've got the rash guard.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have a sensor, sometimes they don't, for you to recognize a kick.
Mm-hmm.
If they kick you, the point will go up and things like that. And I did that for a good bit, and I trained with people that went to states and nationals. Mm-hmm. And things like that. And then later on, as I moved clubs, I went and did more kickboxing. So the kickboxing stuff, I typically did intra-club stuff whenever it was like available. Yeah. It was just, I can't remember the first one, but I do remember like some of the later ones a bit more like clearer, because I did quite a bit. But it's interesting because...
What do you like experience?
You feel a lot of nerves.
Yeah.
It's butterflies times 100. It's going in there and you're... It's funny because I was thinking about what you just said as well. It's like that at the start. I can remember the feeling, not so much the memory. I can't remember these ones when you're in a huge space. They pretty much get a big, almost a huge gymnasium, and they've got six different mats open.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and where there's going to be six different fights going on all the same time, and then they have people all watching all around you. Right, it's a huge amount of people. I remember early on, I didn't have to make weight for my intra-club kickboxing stuff. It was more of a catch weight.
Mm-hmm.
It was just catch weight kind of kickboxing stuff. However, when I did the Olympic Taekwondo, which is not freestyle, that is just kicking and you can only punch to the body and things like that, I didn't enjoy doing that at all.
Why was that?
I just felt it was a lesser kind of, it wasn't as complete a martial art. I much enjoyed the freestyle Taekwondo where I could punch in the head, but I could punch where I could kick them in the, leg. I preferred that kind of mix between Muay Thai style and Taekwondo, which is what I did. I prefer that so much more. It's not like I didn't know how to do that. I sparred in freestyle Taekwondo since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And did kickboxing, but whenever I did the competition at the early age, I did the Olympic Taekwondo, which was only kicking to the body and the head. So you could still obviously knock people out and things like that, which is what happened. A lot of people did get knocked out.
Yeah. Well, really, did you experience, like, watch people get knocked out and stuff?
Yeah.
Fuck, what was that like?
Well, I trained with some people that knocked people out with spinning.
Don't mind me asking, Jack, have you ever knocked someone out?
I've never knocked anyone out. I've certainly, you can say TKO.
Okay.
As in, I've TKO'd people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've dropped people in fights and inspiring and things like that, and I've dropped people. The best one would probably be either the spinning hook, because that's the easiest. Spinning, or whatever you want to call it. But the spinning back is always the best. Spinning kick is the most powerful kick ever.
Why is that? Is it because of the torque that's involved in it?
The amount of torque that you can do, because it's not really, they call it a spinning back kick. It's not really a spinning back kick. It's more of a turning back kick.
Okay.
You can add a spin to it. If you want to do, like, it's almost like a stepping back kick.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you can do it, it looks like a spin, but you're not really. It's a turn. Mm-hmm. If you spin, if you think of it as a spinning back kick, that's one of what a lot of the beginners do. They do spinning back. They think because it's a spinning back, you do a spin. You don't. Mm-hmm. As soon as you do a spin, your leg comes too wide and you miss them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time. When you see the beginners doing the back kicks, they miss the bag too early. It has to come round almost like a whip. It needs to hook around your other leg and come straight.
Mm.
Then you can start to turn into it and get a bit more power. But that's the most powerful kick for sure, because as soon as you hit someone in the solar plexus, the liver with that, they go down. It's too hard. You just knock the wind out of them. It's too hard.
Oof.
It's too difficult.
Damn.
It's too difficult. Yeah, but what I was saying was, I got a little bit off topic, as we always do, but the nerves I felt earlier on were insane. But towards the end, felt nothing.
So
felt nothing.
Yeah? So do you feel like that's helped you throughout your whole life up to this point? Like in certain situations, like when it came to uni?
I owe the majority of stuff in my life to martial arts because I was the really quiet kid. I was the really timid kid. And I still was for a good period of my life, but I had a little bit of confidence. Also, it was really good because whenever I did any other sport, say basketball, I did basketball, swimming, running and things like that on the other side of taekwondo, because sometimes at one point I was doing it quite often. I was doing, you know, 6 times a week taekwondo, then I would do swimming, you know, twice a week, and then I would do basketball training and a basketball game, then I would do running as well. So I was very fit back then. I should probably get back into a bit of a fitter shape doing that.
Well, it's a good thing you signed up at the gym now, so
exactly. I'm at the UFC gym now, so you guys can always come by and say hi. But it made me a lot fitter and things like that. So like whenever I did like cross country at school, I didn't train for cross country, but I ended up being, you know, second in the school.
Mm.
Right. So
was this high school?
This is high school.
Like, yeah.
You know, when we went to, you know, do you remember those, when it was the different schools would go out to a carnival?
And I used to run all the time.
All the people that ran at my school and then were elected to do the cross country, I came second out of them because it was just because I could do it. I found it was more of a mental thing. I always knew fighting was so much scarier than running. It was so much easier. It was so much easier.
Did you ever like run in those packs and right off the start, dudes just trying to sprint it to the end of the flag?
I knew better than running straight away. You just emptied your gas tank, dude.
Yeah, it was like every man for himself, and everyone's just like fucking blasting for each other and all that. You know, I tripped up a few guys going around the trees. I used to run those cross country meets as well,
yeah,
all the time. Because I was part of the cross country team in high school.
Yeah.
So one of the times we actually had to run one of the schools, and it was east, it was inland basically, and it was on a farm area, and they literally had like this mud patch, and you had to jump over the mud patch.
Oh really?
For me, I just like fucking slipped right before, went face plant into that mud patch, got up, had to keep running. People lost their shoes in that mud patch.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was like this little ditch, and then you get a run up and you have to jump over the ditch. But the problem is it's all mud here, so you're slipping, you're sliding, and you just...
Sounds like one of those tough mudders or the...
It was something like that.
I can name this because this is an event. The Stampede, have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. What is the Stampede?
The Stampede is pretty much like that. You can do I think it's either a 2K, a 5K, or a 10K obstacle course. Now, I don't know if the Stampede's... Obviously, during coronavirus, that's not happening ever anytime soon. But it's an obstacle course just like Tough Mudder where, you know, you've got to dive through a big bucket of ice water and go underneath a board, and then you get out and then you run across a ladder, and then there's an area where there's wires that hang from a thing, and you got to run through and dodge them, but you do get zapped, and
that sounds awesome.
Give you a little shock, yeah, and you run along the mud and you know, go through tires, and you go, there's a little bit of fire, you jump over the little fire thing. That's nothing crazy.
That sounds awesome.
It's fun. It's really fun. I don't think I did the 10K. I think I did I always did the 5K, but I did that twice. I've got like, I don't know, like 4 shirts from running the obstacles.
Oh yeah.
It's fun. It's super fun.
That's one of the reasons why people do those fun runs basically for a shirt.
Yeah. I'd love to do it. As soon as they start coming up again, like the Spartan race and things like that, I'd love to do that and maybe raise a bit of money and for charity and just keep doing things like that. I think that would be really fun.
Well, one that I've done a few. We were meant to do HBF Run for a Reason.
True.
Then COVID struck.
Do you want to tell them about that? Because we were trying to do the HBF Run for a Reason. What were we supposed to be running?
10K?
Is it 10K?
10K or 12K?
It's 12K.
12K, yeah. And we're meant to be running 12K in the runner's pack, basically.
You were doing regular running. I was doing regular running as well. I felt pretty confident. I think I ran something like, I don't know, I could do like 7, around 7Ks fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't difficult. And I thought 12, I was like, it's more of a mental thing. It's very easy.
But not even that, but just doing those fun runs in general are the best. So those chat community runs, because so many people do it and you feel the energy when you start.
It's really good for the energy. It's so good for charity. Yeah. And it's also really good for your mind as well. I hate running, but I know how good it is for your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people are like that. Well, tell them about why we couldn't do the HBF run.
Well, the reason why we couldn't do the HBF, well, we started it, we said we were going to commit to it, and then we were both training pretty much for it, but basically we just wanted to do it for fun, really, yeah. Because I've done a lot of those community charity runs. I've done Relay for Life, I've done Seed to Serve, I've done a few bunch of others.
I hadn't done any of that, but I'd done a lot of like triathlons. I'd done triathlons as well as early on as well.
Yeah.
So definitely interest both of us. I think I messaged you. I think I messaged
you. You messaged me one night. I said, like, do you want to do HBF?
And I said, do you want to do the 12K or something like that?
Yeah.
And I think we also made the plans for the next one, which was meant, I think, was it a Relay for Life? Something like that. And that
City
was,
of Surf.
City of Surf. And we were going to do, was it a half marathon?
Half marathon, yeah.
And then the next one we could do a marathon or something like that.
down the line, we could do a marathon, man. But for the HBF Relay for Life, we were training, and then COVID struck, and because we weren't allowed large gatherings, they cancelled the event, and they literally, but they gave us a refund.
Yeah, they're not gonna.
That was pretty cool.
I mean, I would have been fine just to give the charity the money.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Like, a lot of people probably during this time are probably not donating to charity because they've got to look after their family first of all. Mm-hmm. But I would have been, all right, what was it, like 50 bucks?
That's 50 bucks.
Just 50 bucks, just take the money, yeah. Give it to charity.
Well, and then we were meant to do, if we did City to Surf, it would be this month. City to Surf.
That's what I was thinking. It would be August, Surf, yeah.
It always falls under the last weekend of August, I remember, because I did it a few times before. And yeah. I really like it because you literally start, the reason why it's called City to Surf is because you start in the city and you finish at the beach. But the route that we go through to get there is awesome. And I love it. And I love the atmosphere, and I love the people cheering you on.
Maybe we could do something for raising money. Maybe we could do something. I thought about it earlier, if you wanted to maybe make a little thing.
For the last set race.
The last set race, and, you know.
Who would run? Maybe that'd be for the viewers.
I mean, at this point in time, probably not that many. It would be two. It would be a grand total of two people.
They just rock up, and it's just us there on a fucking Sunday morning.
Yeah, like, maybe my mum will be like, yeah, good. That would be cool as well, just to raise a little bit of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that's what we need right now. I mean, everyone just needs a little bit of help and a little bit just reaching out to others, because today is like, it's a pretty unfortunate day. I mean, I woke up this morning as usual, went to the gym, trained, and then literally opened up my phone just before I walked in the gym and found out the horrific, what is it, explosion?
Yeah, in Beirut.
Beirut. And I thought, what? But the thing is,
well, it's 78 dead, 4,000 wounded.
Oh, is that what it's at now?
So at least 78 dead. So the interior minister said that it's ammonium nitrate, and they were saying something. It was almost 3,000 tons. It was 2,750 tons that they got off a ship that was impounded.
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, here's the weird thing. I remember someone put out a tweet or a post. I forgot to screenshot it, but they said, "Here's what doesn't add up." How the hell does that person have that much tons of ammonium nitrate, right? And it caused that much of an explosion, but also there was, I think, and it was just left there. But when we had, I think it was the Boston Marathon, or there was, no, not the Boston Marathon, but there was a certain bomber who only had 2 tons of it, and it just leveled a city block, basically.
I just thought it was very strange, and I think if anything, 2020 has been a year.
Well, the problem, the thing when I heard about it, I was like, was this an attack? Because it sounds like an attack, but something just doesn't add up. Why would you leave that much, like, explosives just lying around there in a warehouse? And I'm pretty sure they said
in the capital?
Yeah.
Really have almost 3,000 tons?
Yeah. And they said it was a fireworks factory. That does not make any sense.
Look. For it to be impounded?
Because when there's videos of the explosion.
It's horrific to see.
And it literally looks like a nuclear bomb going off. The blast radius is huge.
Well, most likely at this point, it's about 100 people are dead.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to see. It's really, really sad. You know, I think 2020 has been an absolute year. Well, think of what's happened. What's happened this year? We've had Black Lives Matter with
George Floyd,
as well as other, obviously, other cases of people.
Coronavirus wiped out so many.
We've got this.
We had this. The stock market went down.
We had the murder hornets.
Murder hornets. Was like, "What about the murder hornets?" I caught a few of them slipping.
Did you?
Yeah, I caught those videos of them slipping. They're not as tough as you think they are. Bees.
No, the bees have learned to kill them.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call a pack of bees, but like
hive.
No. I can't. Oh, it would be a hive. You don't actually have to have a hive.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I copped that L. but those bees go around the hornets.
Yeah, we caught a few of them.
And vibrate. Yeah. They vibrate. Yeah. And they cause the hornet to overheat.
Hell yeah.
And die of, you know, poor thermoregulation.
Don't fuck with bees.
Oh, they're scary. They're smart.
Hell, they're smart dudes. And so we've had coronavirus, we've had the protests, we had just the stock market took a massive hit.
I think we had a lot more than this. We probably put it at the back of our heads.
Yeah, there was the massive amounts of unemployment. You know, Melbourne's had literally another spike. Victoria's going through hell.
They've had record highs.
Oh, God, there's record deaths.
We're very lucky in this setting how we can be fairly post-COVID, where they've been talking about opening up the WA border and things like that, which is newsflash, we live in Perth, Western Australia.
Don't forget, we had the Australian fires to start it off.
True, we had bushfires, I know, right?
Massive fires to start it off. And then we got, and they went on for a while, and then we literally had, they're saying right now that the amount of animal deaths was huge. Enormous. Huge.
So you have all the poor koalas and all that losing their habitat. If they didn't die, then, you know, they also have lost their homes as well. It's really scary to see. You were also telling, there was some scary Joker guy.
Oh, yes.
Did you want to bring him up? Because I haven't seen what he looked like. Do you want to...
Oh, so just let me just bring up. Oh, so 26 things so far that's happened in 2020. Okay. So we had Kobe Bryant, death of Kobe Bryant. Then we had, which was tragic, literally. And then we had, ads. Okay. We had second state of emergency was called in New South Wales. Australian bushfires threatened the south coast of the country.
Yeah.
We had the Iranian, we nearly had World War III with the Iranian general Soleimani killed in US drone strike, which caused a lot of tensions. Then we had COVID-19. Then we had Prince Harry and Meghan Markle stepping down from the Buckingham Palace. That's fucking not news. That's not tragic. Oh, yeah,
that goes above all the other stuff that's happening.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had Iran launches ballistic missiles at two military bases in Iraq. And then we had a Ukrainian flight crashes in Tehran, Iran, killing over 176 passengers. And then we had China records first coronavirus. And then impeachment trial, my butthole. Then we had first coronavirus, Wuhan outbreak, and then Kobe and Gigi. And then UK withdrawal from the European Union. That's not bad. I support that. And then...
We've had a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on? There was some scary Joker guy, right? Was operating in... Was it in Perth?
So, literally, a guy... I'm not sure if he's mentally ill or he's just insane or just putting on some sort of act for attention. But literally, what he did was he went to Perth. And there's a tunnel in the Perth CBD that connects the train station to the Perth shopping district. And he literally spray painted the security cameras around there. So literally, he was caught by the police and he dressed up as a Joker with all the war paint and dyed his hair green and all that. And then he was released on bail for his vandalism charges. His he was a convicted killer.
It was manslaughter. He spent time behind bars after running down a group of teenagers, killing one in 2004.
So there you go.
16 years ago.
So 16 years ago, he basically was convicted of vehicular manslaughter.
Which is when he was... He would have been
22. Wow. So,
so a year older than us, he ran over a group of teenagers.
Far out.
Yeah.
Some people just... they're just one bad day away, really, from going insane. That's just...
He just went and said... he ran over a 17-year-old person and six other teens were injured. He spent a night overnight and he said, we do art and we try to make it fun and light. He is a 38-year-old man from Bauga. And we all know...
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
He's from Bauga.
Yeah. I've been to Bauga a few times. We try to keep people happy and smiling. Doesn't seem to make sense to... That doesn't make any sense. You want to make people smile, so you vandalize CCTV cameras? That's weird.
Imagine if you saw some dude walking down looking like the Joker in the middle of the night and like, dude, this ain't Halloween. Run.
Well, let's look back at not that long ago when there was the clowns.
Oh, those?
The clowns with the bats. Oh, shit, I
forgot about those.
And they would, you know, there was all these videos and some of them probably fake, but a lot of them were real because even if you do fake stuff, it's a trend. Some stupid person or someone that wants to catch on the trend goes out and does it. They were wearing like the clown stuff and they probably have a weapon. And it's like, you know, people are driving, the headlights are on, and then there's a clown, and they're like, oh. Yeah. Something about clowns that people just hate.
Those clowns don't shit. What is it so scary about clowns? I don't...
Because
growing up as a kid,
I think it's a laugh. If you have, like, a little giggle, then it's like, no. But when it's, like, the Joker laugh, or they have the thing with It.
Oh, that's the thing. Wasn't it promotion for that movie? I think that was how it first came around.
I don't know, and it was probably... You know, I don't know if... I don't think they did it, but I think they definitely benefited from it.
Yeah, because I remember Stephen King came out about it and says, guys, stop it. This isn't funny.
I think it wasn't promotion for the movie. I think some people went in, just did it.
Yeah.
And made a trend out of it. And then it did benefit the movie because on one side, Stephen King, you know, he doesn't want like someone to get hurt or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because that, but on the other side... Your movie's doing brilliant.
Oh, dude, have you seen It?
Yeah, I saw both.
How good is it?
Oh, no, I skipped a part two. I did the second one. I haven't watched the first one.
Oh, well, dude, I honestly feel like it is an insanely good, not just a horror movie, but a movie in general. Like, there's a few jump scares, but a lot of people complain about saying, because it's a hardcore movie fans, is they said it's not scary. I'm not really a horror movie fan myself.
It wasn't scary. Like, I watched part... The second one?
There was a couple of moments that made me jump.
I'm sorry, second, It? Terrible. Terrible.
What?
Terrible.
Are you serious?
Horrible movie.
Why?
Silliest movie. He literally, they called him some rude words, some mean names, and he went, they built him up for the whole thing for five, and then, sorry guys, spoiler, It Two's been out for ages. Shut up.
It's a great movie.
At the very end of...
So you think the way that they killed him wasn't that great?
Terrible.
Well, how were they not supposed to kill him then?
Do something better than that. Do something better than that. They built up that there was a different way they were going to like seal him away or whatever. They tried to make him like an ancient alien where he was apparently then he was a clown or whatever they was making it. And then they went in... They went and made,
well,
they
he acts on some, their fear.
They called them some mean words. Joe, come on. They literally
just said, facing your fears,
they
bro.
They pretty much just went... and it was like...
Well, it just they proved. Well, because they had to face their own fears, and then he was feeding off it, and then they weren't scared anymore, so therefore he doesn't exist.
He literally lost within 5 minutes. Within 5 minutes.
But he was haunting them for years.
Yeah,
but overall, other than the last 5 minutes, the movie's great.
Okay. You know, I've watched scenes from the first one, and I feel like you should have just stopped at one.
They could, but the thing is, itself is in multiple parts. The book is huge.
Yeah.
And Stephen King, it was Stephen King's masterpiece, basically. Well, one of his masterpieces. But the book is huge. The book is like 600, 700 pages long. So that's why they turned it into two movies.
Number two was terrible.
Because the biggest criticism they had from the classical It, that it's a long movie and they could have just spaced it out into a sequel.
Mm.
Get what I mean?
Yeah.
But other than that, like, horror movies in general, I'm just not a fan of. Well, because horror movies, like, I like the old school horror movies, like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween, that sort of stuff. Because, like, if I watch that today, like, I can actually enjoy it. I don't get too freaked out by it at all. But today, when you watch horror movies, like, I feel like this whole demonic possession or anything to do with demons.
That horror movies were that scary. I always found that psychological thrillers were the scarier one, like Seven.
Oh,
that's a scary movie,
dude. That movie fucks with your head.
Yeah, I can't watch it again. Yeah. I watched it also when I was a bit younger as well. No, I don't touch that. I didn't touch psychological thriller because it just runs in your head for a while.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like. With today's heart, that's true. But the thing with that, I do enjoy a good psychological thriller, but like it's you know. But the problem I have with horror movies today is they spend so much time working on demons or demonic possession, or they try and make it real life events. Like, how many times have we seen a movie that involves someone getting possessed or
every single one?
Yeah, and
every single one.
Well, I believe it started with The Exorcist. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then now it's just basically. What is it? Now it's just, it's everywhere. You know, we had The Conjuring, we had The Haunting, we had a movie called The, what was that famous, there was one that came out last year, the one about a kid that dies, and the family blames the mother. I can't remember what it was called, but something to do with witches, like got to do with witches or got to do with demons, all that sort of stuff.
I know I watched one that was meant to be horror, and it was to do with, it was kind of almost like a play on if Superman was bad, but it was like...
Oh, that's it, Hereditary. Hereditary was considered one of, like, the most scariest movies of 2000, and well, it's considered one of the scariest movies of all time, but I never really bothered to watch it. I was like, this is just too weird.
Have you seen Brightburn?
Brightburn. I want to watch Brightburn because
I've seen it.
Because I like the idea. Is it based on the idea that what if Superman was bad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that's a great.
But almost like a demonic kind of thing.
A little bit.
It's not. It's okay. I'd probably rate it maybe 5 or 6 out of 10. It wasn't brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, I mean, how many times do we need to see an Insidious movie, or how many times do we need to see a, you know, Conjuring movie or a Conjuring rerun or Annabelle? There's so many.
Oh, I've seen a few of those. I've seen like the Annabelle, and I've seen was it Carrie?
Something like that. Yeah, I just never bothered. Just
yeah. There was something I wanted to bring up, and I saw it interesting. Now this is definitely completely different to what other topics we were talking about, but. Do you know the Olympic runner Jim Thorpe?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, you know how we were talking about running earlier and how it's really good for your mind and things like that? Like, we can attest to running is probably one of the best cardio you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're able to do more high impact kind of stuff, running is one of the best cardio you can ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of the time, I think... both of us included, we hate running. I don't like running.
I like running. I don't mind it. I like running. I don't like running on a treadmill.
Yeah, I don't like
running. I like running on the road, on the street.
It has to be a good treadmill anyway, because like, it just feels weird. It's one of those really bouncy ones.
Not even that, but when you get off the treadmill, you're still like, the world's still moving forward. You're just like visually processing it.
Also, when you run, you don't have to think about staying in one lane, whereas in the treadmill you do. If you like just catch your foot, you're going to be one of those stupid videos off YouTube. Your face plant or you run into someone. So bring up Jim Thorpe. So have a look at this video. Just notice what's a bit different.
He's wearing two completely different shoes and he's wearing two completely different socks.
But are they the right sized shoes?
They look different size.
This one doesn't even fit. So the story of Jim Thorpe is that in the 1912 Olympics. He was an American Indian from Oklahoma, so he ran track and field. And so what happened was, before he went to do his competition for the Olympics, someone actually stole his shoes, right? So he actually went to the garbage bin and he found two separate shoes of different sizes and two separate socks of different sizes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then wearing these shoes, he won 2 gold Olympic medals that day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were saying, you know, it's a good reminder that it doesn't really matter. You can get through adversity and things like that. There's something really cool to see. Just because we were on the topic of running and things like that and how good it is for your mind. Obviously, I think a lot of people, if anything went off on their day, they didn't have their lucky pants. They didn't have their lucky whatever. The dude found odd shoes that didn't even fit out of a garbage bin, and he beat everyone.
Not even that, but who he was as a human being. Like, he was the first Native American to win gold for the United States, considered one of the most versatile athletes of modern sports. He won Olympic gold medals in the 1912 pentathlon and decathlon, and played American football, collegiate and professional baseball and basketball. That guy was the real life Captain America.
Absolute athlete. I don't think he was very tall either. How tall was he? Oh, no, he was. 6'1".
So, he was tall.
So
he was
above average, but it was nothing insane.
He was
1 in 1912 actually would be a good bit, actually.
It was taller than me. I mean, I'm 5'11".
I'm 5'11 as well.
Yeah.
Are you 6 foot?
No, I'm 5'11".
That's where you were
5'11" towers. Nah, 5'11", I've been measured. But he was 92 kilograms, so it was a big, it was a thick boy.
It was a thick boy.
Because the weird thing, even think about that,
he was a thick
runners
boy
aren't big.
I know, but he was a thick boy in 1912. When he was stealing other people's food rations. You stole everyone's food.
but not even that, but if you were to theoretically weigh that much, man, he must have been a phenomenal athlete. Because if you think about it, if you look at marathon runners these days, they're all from, like, Africa, some of the best ones in the world, from Kenya.
Yeah.
Thin as, dude. Like, their legs are the size of my fingers. Exactly. In terms of thinness, basically. Damn.
Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange, like, how versatile that kind of guy was. You know, Jim thought.
Do you ever think we'll have another guy like that before? I mean, you can see some athletes that cross different sports. You know what I mean? Like, you do, like, we were talking about it with boxers who are rugby players, like Paul Gallen.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he tried to do something like that? Paul Gallen tried to go running. Trying to become a professional marathon runner. Could you see that happening? I couldn't see that happening.
I mean, he's obviously athletically gifted, but I think it just shows by that story that we were speaking about earlier that he's just like, he's got a strong mind. He's got a strong mind and he can work through adversity. Obviously a phenomenal athlete that I don't see that many people talking about that much. I think a lot of them aspire for more recent athletes than that, but this guy's an inspiration. You were talking to me as well. You were saying that the universities are changing.
Entry levels.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on right now is a lot of kids probably struggle through this year. A lot of people, everyone struggled through COVID. Education took a massive hit. So what they're doing right now in UWA is they are lowering the entry, the minimum entry.
Don't say the name. Stop saying that. Stop
okay. Saying that. Well, can we say it? Because how we say it? What's wrong with saying the name? So we're not saying anything negative about it. But we're just, because it's news.
Still out of uni.
Okay, yeah. So UWA has lowered the minimum entry from 80, an ATAR of 80, to an ATAR of 75, which I think is okay, because I don't think they're allowing in international students at the moment because no one can travel.
Yeah.
So that's why, obviously, they're trying to get...
Also, they need money. A lot of unis have lost money because of coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, not even that, but, like, it kind of takes the fun out of uni. A lot of people love... I mean, these day and age, like, uni, everything's almost completely digital, and this semester was completely online. But a lot of kids love to go to uni because they feel like it's a fresh start for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they get to restart after high school. They didn't have the best time in high school. Well... Because the thing is, the thing I hated the most about high school, if you, like, made one mistake or did something stupid in year 8 or 9, they would remember all the way up to year 12.
High school's rough.
There you go. And when you go to university, no one gives a crap about who you are. You start all over again. And if you do one silly thing, no one's going to remember it. It's not going to be known around campus. It's just too big.
Yeah. If you fail a unit or you don't do somewhat so well or you don't do well in an exam or something embarrassing happens or things like that.
Yeah. Not even that, but the people who lead university... I'm like, you remember those elections that we had to do? They're like, hey, vote for me, vote for me. I'm like, I have never seen you before in my life.
Yeah.
How can you possibly convince me that you're going to lead the charge? Exactly. That's the other thing I don't understand about the elections. Like, why would you want to give a multi-million dollar facility into the hands of kids who still live at home with their parents?
Yeah.
And the fact that they're trying to lecture, I mean, because we're kids, we can't really lecture, but they know nothing about the real world. They don't know. The real world is outside of uni. That's when I believe, feel like your life really starts. Yeah. Where you get rejected from jobs, you understand what it's like to work in a workspace, you understand that, you know, here's the rules, get in line. If you don't apply to them, find yourself another job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like life really starts for a lot of children. And then uni is just like the last little grasp of childhood for them.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Well, a lot of the time when we were at uni, that was a lot of the time that we'd come into our lecture theatre and they would, you know, a lot of the time, actually, no, it was also not just in our lecture theatre, it would also be when we were eating our food and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would go and say, free education. Free education.
Yeah.
And we could never, we're uni students and we're like,
shut up.
No.
Shut up.
We're going to pay for our degree.
Yeah. And that's why we're not protesting with you, because we're paying to be here. We need this. We want to be in these.
Because that's always an interesting topic, because a lot of people.
Do you think education should be free though?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, already primary school and high schools and kindies and things like that, you can do that for free, go public. There's a lot of really good public schools, right? And if you do have the money to, and you see, so there's some people with lots of money and they put them in public school because they know full well that public school's fine.
One thing I do like, though, when it comes to university is when we help the children who come from backgrounds where they almost had nothing.
Yeah.
But the kid's like a genius and he wants to be a doctor, but his family can't afford to university, so they let him pretty much go for university.
But there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can organize scholarships. You can organize
different ways. That's what I mean, those ways. Kinds of things.
Those kinds of things are
good. I get behind.
I'm not too sure if there it's enough money for you to get by or to pay off your degree. However, any kind of money, nobody's turning down money if it helps them. But it's so weird. What do you even think about, like, with free education? Because,
well, for one, if you have some countries do have free education, but the ones they do, taxes is ridiculously high. In Germany, they have free education, 40% income.
Is it Sweden they have as well?
40% income taxes. That's a lot of money. That's almost half your paycheck.
Mm.
And like, it's even worse if you didn't even go to university or you did a trade and all that. And poof, I just can't see university being free. And, you know, when it comes to paying, I think in Australia, look, again, we are not perfect. We have heck loans. I'm going to pay off my heck loan the moment I start paying $41,000. Mm. I like that, because I'd rather have to pay it off when I'm making that much money than to the amount of money I'm making right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you were subtly telling anyone, but it sounds like you're against free education. But I am too. Like, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it, because it really shouldn't be free. Yes, universities make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're big business models. But you're, I think of it, and I think you attest to this as well, you're making an investment on you.
Mm-hmm.
You're making an investment on you. You're not going there for fun and then just going, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay it off, but it's all good.
Yeah.
You're literally going, when I get this degree, I'm going to have the money to pay this off. I know that I'm investing in me because I know what I want to do and get it done, right?
Yeah, it's also just the sheer belief that I know that I'm going to pay this off. And it's fine. I know it's going to take me time. But here's the other thing. When you go to university and you get your degree, I feel like it's great, but you should never stop learning, ever. Just because you're done with university doesn't mean you should ever try to expand your knowledge, expand your mind. Like right now, I'm out of university and working full time and working on the weekends, working multiple jobs. You know, we're doing this, but I've never stopped reading books. I'm reading more books now than ever. I think I could spend over that. This year alone, I think I've spent $400 just from reading books.
Here's an idea. Get a library card. It'll be a lot cheaper. Get a library card. Pay $400 on books. Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the other thing I like to buy. The reason why is because I don't buy a lot of clothes. I don't buy... I own my car. So I like to spend all my free money or my excess money. It doesn't go to bills on books or in other things that, you know...
Get a library card.
Well, this is the problem with libraries. They don't always get all the new books.
No, they don't. You can request them.
You can, but that takes forever. And you can only... And I like to buy a book so I can put it on my shelf because I like the idea of a book of having a library in my own house one day.
Knowledge.
So one day when I own my first house, I'm literally going to dedicate one room to make it and turning it into a library. That's my dream. Because I feel like, you know, I can't remember the guy who said this. But it was a quote one guy said, and it made me laugh. And he says, we need to make books great again. If you take someone home and they don't have any books, don't fuck them.
You said that.
No, you know that? But it kind of stuck with me.
And I feel like you said that.
And the other one is, I feel like a man's house shouldn't be judged by the size of his TV screen, but by the number of books on his bookcase.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because it's...
Nice little Instagram quote you plugged.
Maybe it was from Instagram or somebody said it. But...
Nonetheless, it makes sense.
Just reading in general, like, when you pick up a book, even if it's a story, you know something more than what you did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's why I like it. And that's why I like to read books. Right now I'm reading books on negotiation, finance. I read textbooks for strength and conditioning. And then also stuff like motivation, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And because those are the things I got to learn about, and because I feel like an inherent satisfaction from being just a little bit better than the person I was yesterday, just a little bit better. And I feel like that's...
Also, knowledge changes your mindset. It changes everything, and your mindset is everything. It's literally the filter of how you look at everything.
Oh.
I'm still reading The Secret, and yes, it's been taking a long time.
No, man.
Because I've been stopping, right? I think I left it in my car. I've been reading that book and I like it as well. Once I finish that, what I'm doing, and I think this would be a good idea for you as well, but what I'm doing is I've bought books, like writing books and notebooks.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm doing is every book or things I've learned, I write in. Oh. And I write it into a book. I always felt it was weird. I've talked to my parents about this. You okay?
No, I'm going to grab something real quick. Yeah, go on, keep talking.
Okay, I always felt it was a bit weird that... Do you have the book? Oh, you got a notebook.
I got one.
Okay, so I have a... Where'd you get it from?
You just go to Officeworks. These are really cool. These are like little journals. Officeworks, nice. You can sponsor me.
not likely with our, 120 followers. See, that's what I was doing as well. And I write down things I've learned from books and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always felt it was weird that there's obviously been a lot of people before us, right? You've had your mum and dad, you've had your granddad, you've had your great-granddad, you've had your ancestors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't given you a book on what they've learned. And I feel like, why would you want your person below you or even a friend to make the same mistakes? Oh, very cool. So you did the same thing that I was talking
about. Yeah, so basically what I like to do is I've been keeping journals since I was 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
For me personally, growing up as a kid, I actually wanted to be an author. Why I read just so much, and I just love novels. So one thing I started
doing in the future.
So one thing I started doing when I was 16 years old was I started keeping writing down everything that was going on. Just the idea of writing and reflecting in general is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I'd read a book, every time there'd be a quote in here that would just get to me, I would highlight it and then write it down in this journal as well. It's just my daily thought. So I was just showing Jack one for the book he's reading right now, The Secret, where I wrote down the law from one of the summaries. The law of attraction says like attract like.
Like attracts like.
Yeah, like attracts like.
See, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So when you think a thought, you are also attracting like thoughts to you.
Yeah.
And it hits another one.
It means the law of attraction doesn't just value the positive thought, it also values the negative. You think positively, your positive filter, you attract positive stuff. But if you think negatively, you're going to filter out a lot of negative stuff, and that's what you're going to think about. That's what it means.
So here's another one. Asking the universe for what you want is your opportunity to get clear about what you want. As you are clear in your mind, you have asked. There you go. Yeah. So stuff like that, but not even that, but just writing down quotes basically from like past philosophers. Like, here's one that
Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee's most likely my favorite.
Oh, for sure. It's right there.
Yes, he is. If you ever noticed that I've added some stuff, and we're going to have a huge wall of all this stuff, and it's going to be martial artists, but it's also going to be people like we take inspiration from as well as us. But we've got Bruce Lee here because I want to put Bruce Lee here, not only just because of the martial arts stuff, but I use a lot of his philosophy, and I kind of value him more of a philosopher than a martial artist, because I believe that's the value he had to a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a famous quote that basically that Bruce Lee once said is a very, very, very famous quote that a lot of people use today, and it's basically in the age of information, there is just so much going on, and one of the quotes that he said was, build your knowledge, absorb what is useful, discard what is useless, and add what is specifically your own.
Yeah.
So that's basically me. This is a prime example of it, writing things down. So in the world of like billions of books, I'm just basically reading as much, absorbing what is useful, rejecting what is useless, and then adding to my own experience.
Yeah.
So that's why it's...
I think another one that was good was be like water. When my opponent contracts, I relax. When he relaxes, I contract. And if you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. If you put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. Be water, my friend. And you can take that in so many other ways, but I think a lot of the ways I take it is in whatever situation you're adapting, just like water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're adapting to in whatever situation. Yeah.
All
right. That was a really good podcast today.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Should we leave it there?
I think leave it there. Thanks guys for listening. If you want to check out any of our other stuff, you can find us on Instagram at The Last Set Podcast. Also, there'll be lots of links in the description and things like that. If you want to click on them, please like, subscribe, comment. If there's anything else you want to, if you're interested in what Joe said about stripping, you want to ask him any questions or anything like that.
We could do a Q&A.
I thought about doing a Q&A as well, and it's even on Instagram as well, but we're totally open to different questions, and we'll leave them to the next podcast and we'll answer them all. Comment, tell us what you like, tell us what you didn't like. Thanks guys.
Take care guys. All the best.
Peace.